This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
My name is Shola Amiobi.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
You're listening to The Score. Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
And welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. Here's what we have coming up for you on this week's programme. It's the sixth round of the Irish Cup and we're going all out for it, down to the last 16. And by the end of the week, there shall only be 8 remaining. How exciting. Ballymacash Rangers, they are dreaming of a massive cup upset at the Bluebell later on, when they host Glentoran. 1,800 tickets sold for that match, we're hearing. And Lee Forsyth, the Ballymacash boss, is on the show shortly. We're going to also be hearing from Dungannon Swifts manager Rodney McAree. They got a great scalp in the Premiership last weekend at Windsor Park over Linfield. Can they keep the good feeling going? In the Cup, they take on Ballyclare Comrades. Newington are feeling pretty good after their late January transfer business. Rory Donnelly added to the panel, on loan from the Glens, in time for a trip to Newry City. And rounding off our panellists, we have Howard Beverlin, formerly of Portadown, now of Bangor. That's quite handy because Portadown and Bangor meet in one of the ties of the round there. Two of the informed teams in the Championship too. All that and more coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Would you look at that? Another week has come around so fast, we find ourselves back in one another's company and raring to go ahead of a busy and, I'm sure, dramatic weekend in the Irish Cup. The sixth round draw, in case you need a little reminder, is this: Ballyclare Comrades versus Dungannon Swifts. That game taking place at Stangmore Park, with Dixon Park undergoing work at the moment. Ballymacash Rangers host Glentoran. Cliftonville take on Loughall in one of three All Premiership affairs. Larne are at home against Glenavon, and Linfield host Ballymena United. Larne being at home means that Newington aren't able to play at Inver Park, so their game against Newry City has been reversed. That is at the Showgrounds. Portadown play Bangor, and Institute face Ards. Those are the games. Now let's hear from the guests, and we'll start with the game taking place later on tonight. They've talked about it as a golden ticket affair. If you are one of the lucky people able to be inside the Bluebell for what is likely to be a raucous atmosphere, a historic first meeting between Ballymacash Rangers and Glentoran. Lots of eyes will be on this one later on. Everyone wondering where the cup upsets might come this weekend. And yesterday, I caught up with the Ballymacash Rangers boss, Lee Forsyth, and I began by asking him, what has the build-up to a game of this magnitude been like?
It's been a pretty hectic build-up, Michael, really from the draw. It's all everybody's kind of talked about. And to be honest, really, for myself and the staff and the players, I think we're just really busting to actually get the game started now. You know, we've had so much talk, and just can't wait for the actual event.
And so much has gone into this that maybe, you know, people aren't aware of. Increasing the capacity of the ground seems like a really positive step as well.
Yeah, no, listen, it's, you know, if there was ever a club able to pull something off, it would be our guys and our club. And I say the community, they've really rallied and they've put so much work into the Bluebell, as you say there, to increase the capacity and make it safe for everybody and put extra turnstiles in. And, you know, it really will be an amazing event. I think, you know, it's not really just about us as a team, you know, but it really is about the whole sports academy, the whole of Ballymacash as an area and the community, because all these guys are the ones that really have started this kind of, from, you know, the vision from 2017, and how far the football club have came in the last, you know, number of years is testament to all the hard work. So The Bluebell itself, Michael, as you know from being up there, you know, from where it was, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, a grass pitch in the middle of the state, and even the work to get us into the Irish League, to meet those standards. So I say, you know, getting the Glentoran game is just the next step for us, and I say all those guys have met the challenges head on and succeeded, and it's really up to the players now and the staff to try to put a performance on, you know, worthy of that.
And to have now, you know, the potential to have 1,800 people at the Bluebell, I mean, did you ever think you'd see the days, really?
Oh, unbelievable! It really is, and I say it's going to be a special night to have that many people in the Bluebell. It's just, as you say, it's something that I never thought I would see maybe in my time. And obviously, there's work even continuing going on at the minute with the new clubhouse going up, you know, which is going to be amazing. It'll be ready for next year. So I think this, in my opinion, this won't be the last time, you know, the club are hosting a game or an event like this. You know, but thankfully we're the first guys to do it, but I think there'll be many more to come in the future.
And all the positive steps that you've been able to take along the way, you know, you look at getting to the semi-final of the County Antrim Shield, still going in the Intermediate Cup as well.
Yeah, listen, it's been a bit of a stop-start season for us, to be honest, because of the kind of cup games, you know, because there is so many cup games in intermediate football. So it is hard. I think our league kind of form has maybe suffered for that, because you're maybe playing a league game and then maybe not playing another league game for 4 weeks, and it is a bit stop start. But I think, you know, obviously the league's our priority, and the league's what we, I mean, that is our main aim. It's the main aim of the club, it's the main aim of the players. But I mean, games like this these are the reasons probably clubs like ourselves, intermediate clubs, you know, we know we're not going to win the Irish Cup, so games like this is why we enter these competitions, and I say it is just it's a dream come true, and it's a game, Michael, to be honest with you. Look, where I'm as apprehensive about as I am excited about, you know, everybody knows, you know, I'm a kind of Glen man, and that's been well documented, but you know, obviously we have a job to do as well. It is a daunting task when you're going out and facing the players, you know, the quality that the Glens have, and we know what a big game it is for them in terms of, you know, it's realistically it's Glentoran. Well, it is Glentoran's last opportunity to, you know, to win silverware. So I think, you know, we know they won't take us lightly, so we won't take them lightly, type of thing, you know. So it all leads to a really special evening.
How weird would that feel as a supporter of that club if you were the reason they didn't have any silverware at the end of the season?
I've been reminded of that by all my kind of friends and family, you know, and I've seen a few people saying, why is it a dream draw for you? Why do you want to knock the team that you love out of the cup? You know, but obviously, you know, nobody wants Glentoran probably to do well more than me. But obviously, look, I'm manager of Balmacash Rangers, and I've got to do well for them. And I say, look, Warren's got to look after his own, you know, his own job and his own ship, and you know, it's not my responsibility for him. I've got to have a manager hat on for this event, not my supporter hat. And you know, yeah, look, I want Glentoran. This will be the first game, I said that the other night, this will be the first time in my life, you know, the first game I want Glentoran to lose. You know, but I say I've got to look after myself and, you know, my own club and you know, my own kind of players and my own managerial career. So that's what I've got to focus on.
And the preparations, I mean, the thing I found most impressive is even the Department for Infrastructure helping out Ballymacash here by not doing roadworks and making it really inconvenient for people to get to and from and get parking and all the rest of it, because it's going to be really busy in and around the ground. I mean, that's no secret.
Yeah, no, as I say, it's a real community effort, you know, and I say the guys that are in the Sports Academy and everybody that they've got involved, you say delaying roadworks, and, you know, they've put every provision on, you know, for the supporters as well, and I know there's going to be an outside bar on the night, and you know, it's fantastic. I kind of trying to protect the players or shield the players a bit more, and we need to be a bit more tunnel vision and actually worry about the match, because you know, there is so much of a carnival and a circus around the event. You know, I'm trying to be with the players and trying to focus and saying, like, it's actually only 90 minutes of football here, 11v11. But I say the community and all the work's gone on and all the people behind the scenes, and they're the ones who deserve all the credit. They're the ones who deserve, you know, the events like this, because of how far they've come. And I don't remember, Michael, in my time in football at all, another kind of club with the progression coming from where they've came from in such a short space of time before. Obviously, there's other clubs have done it maybe over a longer period of time, But from where Balmacash Rangers have come from, as virtually an unknown, you know, team in an estate in Lisburn, you know, to where we are now as an Irish league club, playing one of the biggest clubs in the country in the last 16 in the Irish Cup, you know, this would have been a really glamour friendly for us. So to have it in this competitive nature, live in the BBC, it's just the stuff. It's the stuff of dreams, really, for everybody. So, but I say we've got to try to focus on the actual game itself. You know, that's going to be what the game's remembered for.
Do you think having the recent experience playing Larne benefits your team in some way? They've seen what that Premiership caliber looks like, and it can sharpen focus if it's at all required for a game like this.
Yeah, no, 100. I couldn't agree more with you, because it showed the levels. It showed the levels. I mean, I'm just glad Leroy Miller doesn't play for the Glens, because, you know, trying to mark him that night against Larne. But it showed you the levels. It showed our players, you know, what they need to be, you know, the level they need to be at, what they need to be required, how quick. I mean, you can't switch off for a second, or you get punished. And I thought we'd done really well against Larne for 86 minutes. It was only 2-0, you know, and I think we took our foot off the pedal for a couple of minutes, and we ended up getting beat 4-0. So the levels are massive, and I think it is a good thing for us that we have played that game. And but it's a different game as well this time, because, you know, we are at home, you know, and hopefully we will have more of our fans in than Glentoran fans, and I think that will be a unique experience probably. And I followed the Glens for years and years and years, and went everywhere, and, you know, Glentoran fans were always in the majority everywhere they went, for every game they went. So I think this will be the first time that the Glens might, you know, they'll certainly not outnumber the Balmacash fans on Friday, you know, so it's a bit of a different feel from the Larne game, but certainly on the pitch, it's a good experience that we've had the Larne game in the past, and obviously the recent past, and I say hopefully we can use that experience to be competitive on Friday.
That's such an interesting point as well, about not being outnumbered. How far reaching has the effort been to, you know, drum up that home support to give you that, you know, real feel of we are the hosts and this is our night?
Yeah, to be honest with you, we've had the very, very little, because the demand for the tickets and the demand from the community has been massive. I didn't really realise the size of Balmacash until I went to the club, in terms of the area and the people involved. But it's massive, you know. It's such a big area, and there's such a big potential support, which I think is growing. I think we get a good support, Michael, as it is, you know, in terms of in the PAL and where we came from, the Mid Ulster League, and it's only growing. I think this is going to make that even bigger again. And I say the support and the demand for tickets is just been incredible. So it has. And my hope is that we can hopefully pick up even more supporters beyond this and after this, and when we have our next, you know, home game after the Glens game, that we can maybe pick off a percentage of supporters still who have enjoyed their time at the Bluebell. And I say, I think that's really key. But, you know, we are a club, for me, who have got a lot of growth in us. I've said that before, that we don't know where the ceiling is yet with this club. You know, we don't know where the kind of, you know, I've been at other clubs before and maybe haven't been able to push on or progress. Whereas with Balmacash, we still very much don't know just how far the club can go and what we can achieve. And I say, to be successful, you need good people, you need good volunteers, but you need a support base. And I just think everything is there for Balmacash, and with the new clubhouse going up, you know, hopefully by the end of the season, it's just going to, you know, set the club apart even further.
And the contrast of where you were in Mid Ulster football to where you are now and where you want to be as well, it's that feeling of, you know, you don't want anyone to think we've done it. It's a case of we're still going.
Oh, absolutely. I think, I mean, to be honest, you know, we've came so far over such a short space of time. I think, you know, sometimes we do need to take a wee step back and kind of, you know, be very proud of what we have achieved on and off the park in such a small space of time. Because, you know, 20 months ago, we were playing in the Mid Ulster League and playing at places and grounds that, you know, really hadn't really heard of many of them, to be completely honest. And that's not being disrespectful, just hadn't been in that field, in that area, in that league. But I say, for how far we've came and what we're doing now, and you know, Michael, who knows where the club, and I've no doubt, to be honest with you, that Balmacash will, you know, hopefully one day be a Premier League club in the Irish League. You know, I'll need to be a very successful manager to get them there, but I think, you know, beyond me, I think as a football club, they will, you know, they will continue to grow and push on, and I say, there's just too many good people around the club for that not to happen.
there's still such a long way to go in the league campaign as well. Presently third at the moment, you're a point behind Queens, who have a game in hand over you as well. Limavady top on 32 points, currently 7 points the difference between the sides. What are your thoughts? Because it looks like really the last, what, maybe 5 or 6 weeks, there's been a little bit of a dip there, Lee.
Yeah, I mean, there's no getting away from that. You know, we went from I don't think we'd lost a league game there until December, and then we've went and lost 3 and 4 in the league, which is the first time that's ever happened. And as I say, I think, you know, people do get wrapped up in kind of results or form. I think prospectively, you know, looking at it from that way, I think we're very, very relaxed about the situation. I think we know the reasons. I think our defeats have been for reasons and circumstances, and I think that I'm very, very confident with the squad we have. I'm very, very confident with, you know, that we'll go on a run. I think if you look at, I think that the first thing I have to say, Michael, see the PAL all over is really competitive this year. It's very, very good. I think the levels, certainly from last year's improved, and certainly from years gone by, it's almost unrecognisable. But there's some really, really good sides in the PAL. I think there's a lot of there's no easy games, and to be honest, I know that we talk about the Premiership here and they get a lot of coverage, and there's a lot of kind of talk about the Championship doesn't get the coverage it deserves, and rightly so. But I think the PAL as well, because for me, it's real proper football in the PAL. It's real kind of 100 mile an hour blood and thunder football, and I think that, look, from our point of view, I think we've got too many good players, and I think we've had a lot of, it was the first kind of time since I've been at the club where we've had key players missing for large parts of the season, and I say, for, you talk about a drop off there, how many teams would swap to be in our position? I think quite a lot would swap to be in the position we're in right now, you know. So I think if we're, you know, if this is us having a bad run of form, if you like, I think that, you know, there's a lot more to come from us, and I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season.
And what was the reaction like? Because the Oxford Sunnyside game, you know, ended up being a real tough one for you, and, you know, got the character to get the win in extra time for the 3-2 there. What was it like then to, you know, because maybe, I'm guessing, and you can correct me, maybe some people were a bit annoyed after the game that it ended up being that sort of match, and then you hear the draw and you go, wow, the reward was really worth the extra blood, sweat and tears.
In terms of the Oxford game, no. We all knew how tough that game is going to be. Anybody who doesn't or aren't aware of Oxford are a top side, and they're another side, another club that I expect to come through the divisions. I mean, they won the Mid Ulster League last year and they lost the playoff to Coke, but I expect, you know, Oxford to come strong, to be honest. So to be honest, we were just delighted to get through. It was the first time I'd ever been to the fifth round, never mind getting through to the sixth round, so just getting through was unbelievable. The draw itself then, I thought it was a wind-up. Somebody told me the draw was 6 o'clock, so it was obviously a wee bit earlier than that, and my phone started going. My brother was the first one to text me, and obviously my brother, he's a big glam man, but he's also known to be a bit of a joker, so I thought he was winding me up, you know. But when I heard, obviously I was delighted, and then I say, with all my East Belfast connections, my phone started going, and families and friends, and then, you know, everybody at the club, it was amazing, it was fantastic, you know. But it is. I am. I know I keep harping on with the game, but I'm trying not to get swept up in the occasion, because there'll be nothing worse than all this preparation and all this kind of big build up, and then we go out and completely let ourselves down. So I say there was excitement. I think everybody's still excited. There was excitement for me probably for about 2 minutes, and then the reality of the task at hand kind of sunk in. So, you know, people said to me, "Will you enjoy the game?" I don't know if I will. I'm not too sure if I will enjoy the game, but I'm hoping that I can look back proudly after the game. That's more what I'm trying to focus on.
Yeah, well, congratulations. You've earned your spot in this point in the competition. Last 16, glamour tie, all the work that we've talked about that's gone into making the Bluebell the venue that it is today. And there's going to be some atmosphere. It's going to be a real occasion, and, well, 90 minutes plus, who knows, anything is possible.
God, yeah, hopefully we'll you know, put up good performance for us, and I say, you say, I know that the Bluebell, I know the atmosphere will be electric on Friday night. I think that's the one thing we can definitely guarantee. I know the fans are out in force. I know the fans are really, really looking forward to it, and the club have put everything in place, you know, for an enjoyable evening for those guys. And I say, I'm hoping that kind of atmosphere and bringing the Glens, you know, I think it would be different if we were going to the Oval maybe lambs to the slaughter a wee bit, but I think Glenthorne coming into our home, and you know, it's not as luxurious as they maybe used to, and you know, being in the away dressing room, you know, it maybe go back in time a wee bit for them. So I think I'm looking forward to that and seeing how they react. You know, but I know from our point of view and our guys and our players, you know, we're going to be 100% up for it. You know, and I know the supporters are. So as you say, I think it's brilliant for the club. I think it's brilliant for the coverage the club is going to get, and hopefully with the BBC cameras there, we can put on a really special event.
When we hear that phrase trotted out, magic of the cup, this is when it rings true. This is where it applies. Matches like this, and well, may the best team win. Lee, thank you so much for coming on to The Score.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on, Michael. Thanks very much.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now let's talk to Dungannon Swifts and their manager Rodney McAree joins us on the programme once again. Rodney, great to have you back on.
Many thanks, Michael. Great to have you. Great to be on.
And of course, Ballyclare comrades in the Irish Cup this weekend. But before we talk about the Swifts, can we talk about a youth product that came through at Dungannon Youth? I'm sure everybody in the town, and because I know everybody across Northern Ireland, is just delighted for Conor Bradley. What a time he is having at the moment in his career.
Oh, he's living the dream. As he said after it, he feels as if he's dreaming. It's fantastic to see. Conor's a fantastic boy who's put a lot of effort into his own development and put a lot of time and worked extremely hard, and he's went on to reap the rewards, and it's great to see. I thought last night he was fantastic. I thought that was his best performance that we've seen him yet play for Liverpool.
A goal and two assists against Chelsea. I mean, that is just the stuff of dreams, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's good. His finish was a fantastic finish, and he was more of a forward in his earlier career, and he sort of took it like a natural forward as well. He shifted it out of his feet, and his finish was exceptional. But his two assists also for the other goals was fantastic. And listen, he's doing really well, but he'll know himself that he just has to keep his head down, keep working hard, and try and maintain those levels.
There was that great story as well of the first Liverpool game he went to see, Raheem Sterling was playing for Liverpool, and then you've got this juxtaposition where now he's playing against Raheem Sterling and doing it such a good job. And Rodney, of course, you were on the books of Liverpool as a young man yourself. You know just how challenging that environment is. For him to actually do what he is doing now is nothing short of incredible.
Yeah, incredible. Always has been and probably always will be an extremely hard club to break through, but Liverpool seem to be going through a little phase where there's different players coming through. There's the lad McConnell, the Billy Clark coming on last night as well, along with Conor, and they seem to be introducing a few players. But breaking through at Liverpool is no easy challenge. Conor's got the right attitude for it. He always had the right attitude for it, and he's showing that if you have a good attitude, you're willing to listen to people and you're willing to put the effort in, then you maybe reap the rewards in a later date, and he's starting to reap them at the moment, that's for sure.
It's going to be harder to sneak him through the gates of Stangmore in future, isn't it?
I would love to. It would be just great to have him back at some stage to watch a game. Listen, what other people have done for Conor in his career, the folk at St Patrick's Boys Club, he was at Maiden City as well for a season. So, Club NIE deserve a mention too in terms of their, everybody has contributed towards the development, but we have a particular pride in terms of being part of that journey, and we're just delighted that we were given the opportunity by Conor and his family to be part of that journey. And listen, we're really, really enjoying watching it at the moment and following him at this moment in time.
Well, let's bring it back to your team and your achievements. Windsor Park last weekend, that must have been a real high afterwards, you know, especially coming off the back of the Mid-Ulster Cup final loss against Portadown, where you felt, you know, you had to come out and say sorry to supporters, the standards were not met. You go to a game like that against Linfield, and there's probably not too many people expecting what was to come, you know, a late winner and all the rest of it. What a Saturday night for you and the team.
Listen, coming off the back of the Portadown result, the Portadown result wasn't good enough. Our performance wasn't good enough, and we can make excuses that we make changes and things like that. But Portadown were hungry on the night, and they were better than us on the night, and we deserved what we got. And it was massively important that we moved on quickly from that, and to get the response that we did at Windsor was, it's just it just shows funny, football's a funny old game. You can go from such a low to such a high in the space of 4 days, and going to Windsor on Saturday, probably for me as a coach or a manager, it's probably the best 3 points that I've ever been involved in terms of a league. I read somewhere in the league there's only been 3 teams has beat Linfield at Windsor since 2019, and we're one of those teams. So it's exceptional, and the players deserve great credit for what they put into the game, and carrying out a game plan and trying to stick to it, and having the belief in that as well, and being able to carry it out and get the 3 points was massively rewarding, and it was a very, very enjoyable Saturday evening. Yeah.
At 1-0 down, the referee blows his whistle, points to the spot. You're now defending a penalty at Windsor Park. You probably had an idea how this was going to go, but then Decky Dunn makes a big save.
Yeah, well, goalkeepers deserve to make the save as well, you know, and if you choose the right way, sometimes you get a good chance of saving it. And Decky has been fantastic this past while. He's done extremely well. And thankfully, he saved the penalty kick, because there's moments in games where there's little turning points, and it sways from one direction to the other. And thankfully, that was a turning point for us. If that hadn't went in, being 2-0 down at Windsor, we were up against it. And at that stage, you're maybe fearing that you could end up losing the game 3 or 4. So to save the penalty kick, give us a little bit of a boost, give the supporters a bit of a boost, and the players in the pitch a massive boost, you know. So it gave them that little bit of a go where they could go and have a rattle for the last half hour and see where it took us. And thankfully, we get a goal through Gael Bigirimana, which was a bit of a surprise. Even him getting into the 18-yard box is a surprise. But it was great to see him pop up with a goal, and then seeing Dean Curry score what turned out to be the winner in the 80th minute was the stuff of dreams as well for us at Dungannon Swifts. It was a great result, and it was one that we enjoyed. But ultimately, it's only 3 points, and we have to forget about it very quickly.
I saw, you know, the quotes from the interview Dean was doing after the game with the papers, and saying about just how much that moment meant to him, and that's why we love football, moments like that, and they don't come to all of us, sadly. But I also noticed the line where he said, look, for weeks, his dad, his uncle, his father-in-law, it sounded like the whole tribe, were coming to watch him play. Last weekend they decided, no, sack that, we're going to go watch his brother play at New Buildings instead. They had a game in Ballymena, and then he does that. So the question for me, logically, is, are they all banned now?
Yeah, absolutely. They're not allowed to come until we lose a game of football. I would definitely be keeping them away. That's how my mind works, but that's ultimately not how football works. So his family maybe looked at it and thought that his brother had more of an opportunity of winning his game than we had of winning ours at Linfield. And that's maybe only natural as well, but... listen, Dean has been fantastic all season. He's been a giant in terms of his experience and his leadership skills and his effort that he has put in throughout the season, and he deserved that in terms of going and scoring the winner, and it was a great header, and we were glad to see it hit the back of the net.
And as I say, it's Ballyclare comrades this weekend. You are at home by virtue of the fixture being switched around. They don't have a home ground at the moment with all the work that's going on there, and we wish them well with their development at Dixon Park. But what do you make of the challenge that they're going to bring? Have you had much time to scout them?
Yeah, we've had them matched a couple of times. It's going to be a difficult game, and whatever's went on in this past week, we have to put it in the background, and we have to move on and focus on this. And it's cup football. It's all about winning the game that you're involved in to progress into the next round, and that'll be our challenge. But Stephen Small's a shrewd man. He's got a young squad. They're a fit bunch of lads, and they'll come with a game plan, and they'll come with a belief that they can get something out of the game. And we have to make sure that we're not on the end of a defeat whenever things has went our way in terms of the draw being fixed or being changed till Stangmore and being switched back to our ground. So we've had a little bit of good fortune on that front. So we have to go into it and make sure we're not complacent, and make sure we do what we need to do to get through the tie. And it's not going to be easy, but we look forward to it.
and it's a club, you're a club that have been doing well. You know, cup runs are something that seem to be a bit more regular in recent history for Dungannon Swifts.
Yeah, we've done okay in cup competitions. In last season, they got the semi final of the Irish Cup. We would love to get to another Irish Cup final. It's very difficult to do so because you come up against the best teams in the country at some stage. And even ties like Saturday at home to Ballyclare, where people expect you to go through, it's never as simple as that. There's always cup upsets, and there's always one cup upset within a round of ties. So we have to make sure that we're not the venue that the cup shot materializes at.
And I'm assuming you're not going to be ringing in the changes like we saw for the Mid Ulster Cup final. This is going to be somewhere close to your full strength team, if not your full strength team.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, the Mid Ulster Cup might be coming at a bad time for us, in between a game v Lorne and a game v Linfield, and for the Mid Ulster Cup, it was massively important that we sort of prioritised Linfield at the weekend. But that's not taking any credit away from Portadown. As I said earlier, they deserve their cup success. But certainly in the Irish Cup, we'll not be looking at this and looking to make wholesale changes and give boys games. It's too big of a game for that, and we have to make sure we try to win it. And the boys who deserve to play will be on the pitch.
And we have 11 league games left. Isn't that remarkable to think? And when you look at it, you're 10th at the moment. You've 27 points. Corrine and Six have 32. There's teams clearly in between. Good luck predicting how it all ends up.
Yeah, it's just nice to have that. It's nice to be going into this weekend knowing that you could get to the quarterfinal of the Irish Cup. And it's good going back into the league campaign after it with knowing that you're within touching distance of seventh or even sixth. I don't see us catching the team in sixth, to be honest. It's not beyond us, but I look at the team in sixth in Coleraine, and they've a lot of good players, and getting their recent success against Glenavon has maybe given them a little bit of a boost and maybe gets them back in the right direction, you know. So it's gonna take an unbelievable finish before the split for us, even if we were to think about top six. But for me, it's just about trying to get the next points, trying to surpass the points that we got last season, which was 28, and try and catch the team above us and just see where everything takes us between now and the split, or between now and the end of the season. But we're enjoying it at the moment. There's a good feel about the club. There's a good atmosphere about the club. The players are working extremely hard and giving us all they have. So as long as that continues, then I think we have a good chance of maybe doing something between now and the end of the year.
And only four teams in the Premiership have scored more goals than Dungannon Swifts. I mean, that's a hell of a stat.
It is. Whenever you look at the other side of it, we've conceded quite a few as well, you know. So we have to try and work on that. We have to concede less goals. And if we concede less goals with the goals that we are scoring, then it obviously leads to better results and better points and further up the table. So that has to be our challenge. But we could be exciting to watch at the minute. I think the games we've been involved in the league, I think there's been 89 goals scored. So it's an exciting league. It's an exciting place to watch football. If you want to come and watch Dungannon Swifts, come and watch, and maybe you see a good game of football with plenty of goals, you know, at this moment in time. But I'd prefer to concede less than what we have been.
Maybe you should start providing oxygen masks for everybody.
We're going to have to think of something, but I know it's been good, it's been enjoyable, we're loving it at the moment, and we just look forward to the next game, whatever competition that's in.
And also, it does feel, and I don't know whether you feel this way or whether you want to say this or not, it does feel like you're safe. You know, you've got two teams beneath you. I know a lot can happen, a lot can change, but there's a bit of a gap there. That hasn't been the case in the last few seasons for Dungannon Swifts. It's been pretty tough going for everybody involved. So the progress is there. Do you now feel like, okay, we're looking up rather than looking over our shoulders?
I think we've always tried to look up. I think that's part of my mindset, is always try to catch the team that's above us. Try to look at what's in front of us in terms of rather than what's behind us. And Whereas, are we safe? I don't think we are as yet. We're not mathematically safe, and as I said, we still want to continue to try and pick up as many points as we can, and the sooner the next league points come, the better. It's a tough league. It's a tough league to get points. It's a tough league to get results. Whenever the fixtures come out at the start of the season, you're always looking and thinking, where can you get points from? And it is tough, but as I say, we have done well. But I think that like the players have to take great credit. They've created a good atmosphere amongst themselves as well. They're working hard for each other. They seem to like each other, which is massively important within the dressing room. So we're still looking over our shoulder, but we're definitely trying to look at what's in front of us and catch what's in front of us, and that would be my priority.
Well, always good to hear what's going on at the club, and you can see massively entertaining football, certainly at the Swifts, and you showed us that was going to be the case right from the very first game of the season. Yeah. My word, Rodney.
Yeah, I could start off the season with a 4-8 draw at Larne. It's sort of put a picture in terms of how the season's going to pan out, but listen, we've as I say, we're loving it at the minute. We just want to get into the next game and play the next game and see where everything takes us. But hopefully we're safe come the end of the season. Hopefully we've a cup final to look forward to, and who knows what else on top of that.
Well, great talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on to The Score, Rodney.
Thank you, Michael.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, let's get our next guest onto the show, and I'm very pleased to say a big hello to Paul Hamilton, the manager of Newington. Paul, how are you?
Not too bad, Michael, not too bad. What about yourself, mate?
Well, I'm doing brilliantly. All the better for having you on. And can we get into your big transfer news? I know it's not your only signing of the window, but Rory Donnelly coming in has certainly got a lot of people interested.
Well, you know, it's a big signing. It's a big signing for the club. He brings a lot of qualities, so he does. He'll bring a lot of qualities to the team. But there was other signings in there too. You know what I mean? So, as I say, it's not all about Rory. Because I say we've got another few signings in there too, like a Tierney McCauley, young Peter McKernan. You know, different ones like that there have come into the squad this year and done really well. Ben McCall from the Mac. You know, so. As I say, I know Rory would be the big headlines, but, you know, we're saying, well, so we have.
Well, we'll get into that in just a wee moment, because there'll be some people maybe haven't seen a lot of Newington, or maybe haven't seen Newington this season at all, so I am interested in your team as a whole. But the Donnelly deal, was this a fairly last-minute thing? Is it something that's been quietly bubbling away? How did it come about?
Michael, it was just quietly bubbling away. A lot of things needed sorted, you know what I mean? Papers needed signed and stuff like that there. But he was on the radar there too, so he was and as I say, we're just chuffed that we got it over the line.
And a big boost for your front line. Plenty was said about, you know, Zach Barr going to Portadown, and when you take goals out of any team, regardless of the other players there, it always affects you.
Yes, Michael, yes, of course. Big Zach's a good player for us, you know, but obviously he took the plunge down to the Portadown. And scores goals. The big man scores goals. But also, too, when Zach left there, we got a boy called Ben McCall, who's a very, very good centre-forward, too. And Darren Stewart is back in the squad, too. He was struggling with a wee injury the last couple of weeks, but all good now, and obviously Rory coming in there too, so it means they have a bit of a variety up top.
And when we look at this weekend and Newry City in the Irish Cup, it sounds like you've got a nice selection headache then.
Yes, it's a nice place to be. So it is, Mick, it's a nice place to be. But no, looking forward to it. The boys train well. We'll always prepare for the games on Saturday, and away to Newry, no easy task at all. Very good team, you know, Premier League team, well established. I think they're under new management at the minute. I think Barry Gray's took them over, so there'll be a lot of their players want to impress the new manager and stuff like that. But no, we're working down with the attitude, Michael, that we want in the next round.
Absolutely. And why wouldn't you have that attitude? The draw initially had you as the home team. Now, I know you're playing football at Inver Park this season, but was there a bit of a frustration there that you couldn't come to an arrangement with Newry to keep the game at Inver Park? Lauren, for anyone that don't know, are playing at home this weekend, which is why this conversation even came up.
No, not really, Michael. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we haven't got a home, you know, and Lauren have been really, really brilliant with us this year. But when Newry sort of asked us to just fancy playing at home, we took the opportunity, you know what I mean? And as I say, we'll play anybody anywhere, you know, it doesn't matter home or away, you know. But as I say, again, down to Newry, our nice bus run on Saturday, everybody together, you know, and hopefully get the result, and then we're travelling up the road in the next round, you know.
Cup football, everyone, you know, this is where all the cliches come out and one-offs and all the rest of it, but what do you say to your players and indeed to your supporters as well, heading into a game against Newry, Premiership opposition, but do you see any weaknesses there in their game?
We've had them look once or twice, and you know, we've just got a wee bit of information, but listen, it's a cup match, Miguel. It's on the day, you know, and we always tell our boys when we go out to any cups, you know, lucky enough we've been in finals and we've won finals, and it's still an old cliche of, you know, no matter what, get into the next round, no matter what it takes, whether it's extra time, penalties or a 1-0 win, you know, no matter what, get into the next round, you know, that's always been our way of thinking, so it has.
And do you miss the old days of replays, or do you like how it's done now?
No, I like how it's done now, you know. I like how it's done now, you know. Back in the replays and all are a wee bit interesting. But no, I think it's the right way to go now, Michael. So I definitely do.
Last round of the cup, it was a 2-1 win against Dundella to get through, as I say, Newry City now. But stepping away from that, the Championship, and only your second season in the Championship, I think people can nearly, you know, forget that. So much about, you know, how you won the PIL, came up last season, some impressive matches, the way you play your games as well, very entertaining, and the way you started this season certainly got a lot of people excited. You know, what's realistic for Newington at the moment? What is it that you're saying, this is where we need to be in the next year or two? Because I'm sure you can't get carried away, Paul, even though the rest of us can.
No, we keep our feet on the ground, Michael, that way, and under no illusions that, you know, that our aim this year was to finish in the top six, you know, and it's still going to be our focus. Yes, the cup runs are good, it's a distraction away from the league, but, you know, we're realistic in what we have and what we can do. So as I say, our aim always has been the top six. You know, even though teams don't really like to hear that, but it's we're being realistic about it. For us to finish in the top six would be a good season. Our second season in that league, you know, and from there, Michael, we're just growing. We'll get more players in. You know, we'll get more established, and you know, we'll take on from there. So.
And I say this anytime I'm talking about the Championship. A couple of weeks of good results or bad results can flip the table on its head. It is absolutely barmy.
It's a mad one. So it is. It's a mad one. And any given team on the day, Michael, can beat anybody. You know, whether it's Portadown or, you know, Dergue or Knockbreeder, whoever, on their day they could beat anybody. But it is. It's been a real... it's been exciting too, to be honest, you know, because... You know, when you win your games, you're looking to see what the other teams have done and where you are on the table and all that sort of thing. But, you know, we don't get carried away like that. You know, we just worry about ourselves, Michael. That's what we do, yeah. As long as we get the points, what happens around us happens. But no, it is one or two victories in that league that bumps you up, and then maybe second or third, you know.
And I'm curious to know, playing in Larne, has that made any difference? I mean, we're in a small country, let's be honest, everything's fairly close, but you've been able to stick around in North Belfast for most of the time, you know, when you, whether it be Seaview or Solitude, having to go to Inver Park is something different. I don't know, is it ideal, is it not?
Well, you know, Michael, from where we are based anyway, you know, it's 20 minutes down the road and 20 minutes up. But listen, you know, we've no home. And, you know, it's brilliant going to the places to like Derg View and, you know, Portadown and different places like at the Dundallas, and they have their own established house. At the minute, you know, we're working on that. Our committee's doing an excellent job at the minute to throw our name out there and try and get us somewhere where we could call our home. You know, the travel down to Lawrence, not convenient for a few players, but at the end of the day, you know, that's our house. That's our house for the time being. For the long term, Meg, I'm hoping not. I would like to keep Newington and North Belfast and hopefully get some sort of venue or a stadium or anything like that up and running. It would be absolutely fantastic. So it would, but at the minute, you know, the travel down the line, it's an away game all the time for us. But I'll go back to the Lawrence this season. They've been fantastic with us, absolutely fantastic. Their hospitality, their groundsmen and their pitch and all that, they've been absolutely top drawer. So they have.
Well, that's always really good to hear. In terms of, you know, what a home ground would mean to you logistically, it would have so many benefits clearly too. So I guess this is a wee bit of a call to action for anybody listening, is it? You know, can you help Newington?
Yeah, well, Michael, that's what it's about. You know, we're a community team. We've a lot of youth teams coming through the ranks. We're building, we're growing, we're getting stronger, we're getting bigger. We still have nowhere to call home, and you know, for the foreseeable future, Lauren have put us up. But maybe another few years down the line, we would like to be. I would like to invite yourself, Michael, to our home pitch and have a yarn in it and all that sort of stuff. But no, you know, we're lobbying with the council, with MLAs and other people there who we think we can help us to maybe achieve that. But as I say, it's a slow process. You know, you want things done right away, but you know, you have to be realistic and say, look, listen, you know, it is a bit of a process. You have to go through X, Y, and Z to get where you need to go. But we'll not give up, Michael. That's one thing about us. You know, we'll not give up. That means we'll go around doors and take signatures and different things like that. We'll do that. You know, we will do that, and we have done that in the past. To sort of push it on a wee bit. But no, if there's anybody out there could help Newington Football Club, to, you know, for a bit of land or anything like that in and around the North Belfast here, listen, give them my number, you know.
If you're listening and that is something you think you can make an actual difference on, please do contact me and I'll make the connections there, because I want to see you have a home. Of course I do. When, you know, you talk about building a team, you can't build it fully without a home. So I'm imagining that the people that you work with, whether it be the people on your committee, your coaching staff, the players and hardcore supporters, really do have to be a tight-knit unit, because you kind of pick up and move every now and again, and that is not easy.
Yeah, and it goes back to the community thing for me, Michael. You know, we're community based, and yeah, our supporters are absolutely top drawer. Would do all sorts of ballots and stuff like that. That generate a couple of pound. Our coaching staff, you know, of all our teams, have been absolutely brilliant. And you have to remember too that they're all voluntary workers, myself included, and all my coaching staff are all voluntary workers. And as I say, to maybe get a place called home would be absolutely fantastic. So it would.
Well, look, it's great getting that insight and that feeling into Newington and the journey that you guys are on at the moment. As I say, second season in the Championship, a big cup game at the weekend, and bringing in, you know, I know you've got some good young players there, but bringing in marquee names as well will make people take notice. So clearly the one thing missing is that home ground. So you know, maybe that's a nice point to finish on. If you can help Newington today, drop us a message, the score and I, and we'll put you in touch with Paul. But Paul, thank you very much for coming on to the programme.
Michael, thanks for inviting me. Cheers, mate.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now it's time to get our final guest of this week's show onto the programme, and I'm delighted to have him back onto the programme. We're used to talking about how he helps teams keep clean sheets, but he's helping teams at the other end of the table. He scored a back heel leveller for Bangor. I didn't quite expect that to happen, at least so soon into his tenure at the club. He is, of course, Howard Beverland. Howard, how are you?
I'm good, Michael. Yeah, always good to join with you in the programme. Always good to talk.
Talk to me about that goal. Great instincts, not necessarily the instincts of a defender.
Yeah, you know, looking back on it, obviously I'm not long in the door at Bangor, having signed for them. And I guess we're away to Dirtview, and we knew that would be a difficult tie. They're fighting hard near the bottom of the table, but we have our own aspirations up towards the opposite end. I think on the day they made life very difficult. Their keeper was saving everything that was coming at him, and defenders were, you know, last ditch tackles and blocks. It just felt like one of those days where I think we recorded about 21 attempts in goal, and it wasn't until the 96th minute of 8 minutes added on that we scored, and probably the most unlikely, or one of anyway, on the pitch to get that goal was myself. I think actually about 5 minutes before I had a header cleared off the line as well. I think there's a photograph of me acrobatically trying an overhead kick as well. But I think I contacted with Ben Arthur's more and trying to connect with the ball. But then I think, as I say, the 96th minute, we have a corner. It comes into the back post. I think it was Lewis Francis has set it back, and look, there was bodies all everywhere, and I guess, yeah, I just thought I'm going to just bounce up nicely, and I backheeled it, and it kind of, I think, took everybody's surprise, and I swung round to see it hit the back of the net. It felt like a very delayed between connecting with the ball and seeing it going into the back of the net, but it found the back of the net. We were pleased to get that goal. I think we deserved it. But I guess there wasn't loads of celebration because, you know, we kind of just equalised. There was time on the clock, and we kind of grabbed the ball, and I think it was an Alan Shearer-esque celebration, and we made our way back to our own half again to try and get the game restarted as quickly as possible. So, yeah, look, at the end of the game, you know, our manager Lee said, look, it may turn into being a very important goal and a very important point, as much as we were hoping for three. We kind of took that in the day, and then we realised other teams around us had also drawn, so it was probably an important goal, and also keeps the unbeaten run going too, so it was valuable, I think, in a lot of levels.
Very well described. And yes, I mean, if you'd have said Lewis Francis scored it, that'd be no surprise to anybody at this stage. He just seems to know where the net is. He's a great knack for it. Even the header, I'm thinking, yeah, I could see Howard scoring a header. The overhead kick, let's all just, you know, yeah, keep a grip of things. But a back heel, not bad.
It's an interesting one, because I think if I was looking back to I think when I was at Coleraine, we were home to Ballymallard one Tuesday night with Brian David McDade's first spell at the club, and I think there was one that night where somebody's took a shot from distance, and I've kind of, like, you know, sort of like backheeled and sort of sent the keeper the wrong way. So that's a similar type of goal, believe it or not, in the past. But I would have to say I'm more proud of the one there on Saturday past. I think the technique was particularly pleasing. So,
well, just wait and see. The next time you score a back, he'll look even better somehow. The league form for Bangor is looking good. 10 matches unbeaten, 7 wins in that, climbing the table. And looking at the championship table, yourselves and Portadown, you're third, they're fourth. There's a point between you. They've a game in hand. There's still a long way to go, yada, yada, yada. It's going to be amazing. But you find yourself playing against your old team this weekend at Shamrock Park in the Irish Cup, and that's why so many people are excited, because they're looking at it and going, the two teams in very good form at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at the league table at the minute, and I think it's been as tasty as the championship has been in a number of years, because I think at some stage there's probably two teams a wee bit out in front. I know obviously last year, you know, Loughall were strong throughout, really, and I think won by a bit of a margin. I think the year before that was Newry, I think, who again you know, were the out in front team for the whole season. But this year, it's rotated between Dundella being the form team, then you have Institute who have came on strong, you have Portadown who are obviously the heavy favourites to bounce back up again after relegation, and then you have ourselves who, I think probably in some ways, people know of the aspirations within the club, but I think by way of obviously being first season in the league, having been promoted, I don't think, you know, maybe necessarily people were expecting us to be punching just as high as we have been. But look, you know, I think there'll be teams, you know, by way of budget that will be favourable ahead of us. But at the same time, you know, we want to just quietly go about our business, and if people are talking about us, well, that's a good sign of things on the pitch and how that's shaping up as well.
And the statistics show Bangor, yes, good in front of goal, but also very good defensively, and it all starts with the goalkeeper, James Taylor, doesn't it? But you've got the experienced players in there as well, and a couple of really talented young players, and that seems to be the recipe for success in terms of what Lee Feeney is trying to build. It is that blend that we always talk about in football, youth mixed with experience.
Yeah, it's been a good balance to the team. I think players, with getting a few extra bodies in January, maybe a few players that were maybe playing further back or seeing them being kind of more further forward up the pitch, we've been able to kind of, you know, move them upwards and just find that balance to the team, and I guess just playing to people's strengths really, people who can influence the game in the final third, and then obviously players who are natural more in a defensive style as well. So there's good flexibility, there's good depth in the team as well, although a few players have moved on there over the past few days. But hopefully, you know, January's a big window. It's a hard window, I think, to find players and players to be, you know, freed up to go, but it can be, have a big say come the end of the season.
What are you expecting this weekend from your old side, Portadown, then? You know what Niall Curry is about. He's got them to the Bet McLean Cup final with yourselves and a few others pushing for promotion in the league. And I'm sure he wants to keep going in the Irish Cup too.
Yeah, I imagine obviously with the run of form that they're on, you know, they'll want to be challenging on, well, all fronts really. They've obviously got a home tie, which is good for them and the pitch. Obviously they have a big following throughout this season, but I imagine there'll probably be an extra number there on Saturday as well. So, you know, they're in a good crest of a wave, the buzz around the club, you know, of being in a final and having that to look forward to. So we'll expect a tough game. They've strengthened a lot in January. I think they've been able to bring in quite a number of players, and really, you know, use that to kind of get back in form again, I think. But look, you know, I think the talk of the season, certainly within the league, has been about Portadown coming down and bouncing back up again. And I guess, look, this, you know, the size of the club and the club that they've been for years in the history, they're a huge, huge club. So we know it'll be a tough game. They'll obviously have home advantage. I think head-to-heads have been, I think it's been a banger of recorded a win and a draw. But, you know, as everybody always says, the nature of cup football is just different. But, you know, hopefully we can go there, certainly give a good account and leaving, you know, no regrets on the pitch come the end of 90 minutes or maybe 90 plus minutes or extra time.
Oh, the thought of extra time and penalties, that's just good for the nerves, isn't it? I want to ask you finally, you have that experience, you're a league winner of course, but you have won the Irish Cup, and I'm not trying to tempt fate with either side's fortunes in terms of their journey this year, but just interested in what that day feels like. Being there in an Irish Cup final, getting your winner's medal at the end on top of that, is there anything better in football?
Yeah, it's a very, very special day, and I think there probably isn't else that compares to it. You know, I do think that obviously the League Cup now has really improved by way of the overall occasion. I think final and turnout and everything too, and there's been strides made there on and off the pitch. I think when you look at the Irish Cup, it's the history of it. It's really the big one and the day out and the occasion. It just feels a bit different. And yeah, look, it's really nice to have been there before and to have won it with Crusaders. I obviously reached it the final with Coleraine when I was 18, but we missed out in the day. So I guess having experience of both the losing feeling but also the winning feeling, you know how much it means to fans. You know, it's a huge part of keeping there's a real buzz about the club too. The longer you stay in the tournament, it really helps build the vibe of around the club, and it helps the momentum within the league form too. So, you know, it's a big day, it's a big occasion for lots of reasons. And I think, you know, it's got to be, you know, a dream of every player to experience that. And, you know, everybody talks about the fairy tales of the Irish Cup, and you know, even looking back to the game with Crusaders when we won it, you know, that was against Ballinamallard on the day, who were a championship club that season, and they reached the final. I think having knocked out Warren Point in the semi-final. So it's a competition for the underdogs. We know what it's like, you know, and comparing it to the FA Cup in England, and we can see how underdog clubs can kind of push through. But certainly, look, you know, as every manager and player will say, we're looking no further ahead than Saturday's game and what's in front of us, because that's a big task and a big challenge. But one, you know, we're really looking forward to. I think, you know, it's a big game. I think you look across the fixtures. For me, this is one that's right up there, and we'll be continuing to prepare well for it.
I would agree with you. Yeah, I would agree with you. It is one of the big games of the weekend, a really, really exciting match on paper. Hopefully it lives up to it as well. And Bangor fans, if you weren't already acquainted with Howard's eloquence, you're now getting an idea of just what else he brings to the team beyond the stuff in between the white lines and the 90 minutes. Howard, a pleasure as always. Thank you for coming on to The Score.
No problem, Michael. Thank you as always. Speak soon.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Great getting the thoughts of Howard Beverland there. My thanks to Howard, to Paul Hamilton, Rodney McAree, and Lee Forsyth, and to you for listening. If that was your first time joining us, please come back for more. The Score and I, where you can follow us, catch up with all of our previous shows, and keep up to date with what is coming up in the future. If you are one of those regular listeners, my thanks, as always, to you. You know what to do. See you next time. Same time, same place. And for now, to all of you, I just have one thing left to say, and that's enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.